President Trump is at the White House today receiving updates on Hurricane Florence. As the storm raged this morning, he tweeted that FEMA, first responders, and law enforcement were doing an incredible job. Yesterday, Trump was widely criticized for his tweet rejecting the official death toll from Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico last year. He accused Democrats of trying to make him look bad.
In other news out of Washington today, as part of a plea deal reached today, former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort has agreed to cooperate with FBI Special Counsel Robert Mueller as Mueller investigates possible Trump campaign collusion with Russians. Let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable, Tolu Olorunipa, Bloomberg News White House reporter. Hi, Tolu.
Hi there.
And Beth Fooey is NBC Senior Politics Editor. Hi, Beth.
Hey there.
So let's start with this news about Paul Manafort. What does this mean, Beth, that he's going to cooperate after all this time?
Yeah, it's extraordinary on so many levels. I mean, we know that just weeks ago, Trump was touting the fact that Manafort was standing strong and wasn't going to cooperate. He seemed to disparage his former lawyer, Michael Cohen, because Michael Cohen did decide to cooperate. So this is a major, major setback from that standpoint. Trump's campaign manager, the man who was in charge of his campaign for so many months, was at the same time engaged in criminal activity, according to this this cooperation agreement and this plea that we are learning about today. So even though the White House has put out a couple of statements, one from Sarah Sanders, one from the president's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, saying this has nothing to do with the president or with his campaign, that's clearly not the case.
Tolu, this is fascinating because he has said he is going to now cooperate with the Mueller investigation. What sort of information might he bring to that?
Well, Paul Manafort was the campaign manager for President Donald Trump's campaign as it was leading up to the convention during the summer and pretty crucial months. And he was part of the campaign for a good chunk of it. This is someone who knows about the policy process within the Trump campaign, who knows about the people who are coming in and out, and has spent a lot of time with the president himself. So he could provide information that Robert Mueller might not be able to get on his own about the conversations that were taking place during the time that the Russians were involved in trying to interfere in the election. You have to remember that right before the Democratic convention, at the time when Paul Manafort was still the campaign manager, the federal government says the Russians hacked into emails that were DNC emails and released those emails to the public and really disrupted the DNC, or sorry, the Democratic convention, and led to the ousting of the DNC chair, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. So whether or not the Trump campaign was aware of any of this, we have to remember that the meeting with Don Jr., which happened in 2016, with several Russians who promised dirt on Hillary Clinton, happened at the time when Paul Manafort was the campaign manager, and he was in on that meeting. He might be able to provide more information about whether or not President Trump knew about that meeting, or whether or not that meeting led to any other information. So there are key questions that have not yet been answered that Paul Manafort might have answers to.
So as all this is going on, there's a Supreme Court nomination hanging in the balance. President Trump has the opportunity to put somebody on the court for life. And now we're getting word from The New Yorker. They're reporting today about an accusation of sexual misconduct against the Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh from when he was in high school more than 30 years ago. A woman claims Kavanaugh and a classmate were drunk at a party when they held her down, turned up music, and Kavanaugh covered her mouth as he tried to force himself on her. Kavanaugh is denying this allegation. But how serious is this, Beth, for the Kavanaugh nomination? Or is he in any trouble at all? Or will he just be confirmed just as many thought he would be a week ago?
Well, it calls to mind the confirmation of Clarence Thomas all those many, many years ago, about 7 years ago, that justice was confirmed amid sexual harassment and assault allegations. And of course, the accuser did come forward. Anita Hill did come forward in this case with Judge Kavanaugh. We don't know the identity of the woman or whether she will step forward and if that would change anything. But we're in a very different environment than we were back in those days. As you recall, 11 Democrats voted for Clarence Thomas to become a Supreme Court justice, even after Anita Hill stepped stepped forward. We're in a much more partisan environment right now, and Republicans seem really hell-bent on getting this confirmation through and getting Judge Kavanaugh onto the court and onto the bench in time for the beginning of the court session in October. It's unclear to me whether anything can prevent that, short of this accuser stepping forward and making a credible case, and she may not be willing to do that. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, as a very interesting development on this case today, Senator Grassley, who heads the Judiciary Committee, has a letter now from 65 women who apparently knew Kavanaugh as a young man or as in high school, testifying to his respect for women and how well he treated women mm-hmm. in those days. So it looks pretty clear that the Republicans on the committee were aware that this accusation was out there and were prepared for it.
Well, and there are also some Democrats that might vote for Kavanaugh. We were speaking on the show this week with Senator Donnelly of Indiana, who's up for re-election. He hasn't said which way he's going to go on this. And he's having to be very careful about, you know, saying, I support Trump when I agree with him and I don't when I don't. Here he is talking with us.
When President Trump is right, I'm with him. I voted with him 62% of the time. When he's not, you know, I try to let him know here's an alternate plan. Here's a better way to do something.
Tolu, when you hear him say that, do you think he or other Democrats might actually vote for Kavanaugh?
Yeah, they're facing a lot of pressure from Democrats within their states to vote against Kavanaugh. But at the same time, these are states that voted, in many cases, overwhelmingly for President Trump. And they're also facing pressure from Republicans whose votes they need to vote for Brett Kavanaugh and to confirm him to the Supreme Court. So they are in a pretty tough position heading into probably some of the toughest midterm races of their lives at a time when President Trump is out on the campaign trail, reminding his own voters that these Democrats are not reliable votes for his agenda. And the Supreme Court is one of the top issues that voters care about when they are looking at who to put into the Senate. So they are in a tough spot. And these new revelations, new accusations against Brett Kavanaugh may give them some pause to potentially vote for him. But no matter what they decide, they're going to face backlash either from the Democratic base or the Republican base and Republican moderates who they need in order to secure their reelections.
Beth, speaking of those midterms, what do you make of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell? We covered this on the program earlier in the week, saying that Senate races in 9 states are going to be very challenging for Republicans, including states that really weren't on the radar just a couple of weeks ago. McConnell said it's going to be like a knife fight in an alley. What do you think changed, or did anything change?
Oh, yeah, something definitely changed. The president's approval rating has dropped precipitously in the last month or so. Numerous polls have picked that up, and we don't know precisely why. I mean, one could hazard a guess. I mean, whether it's because of the meeting with Putin, where he seemed to side, President Trump seemed to side with Putin over the intelligence community on issues of whether his campaign had or whether Russia had meddled in the election, whether it had something to do with just kind of the general ongoing chaos out of the White House, the Bob Woodward book, the Omarosa book, so many things have happened in the last month.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and so the president's approval rating has now dropped. Most new polls are showing it kind of hovering around in the high 30s. That is a danger zone for anybody running for election or reelection in the president's party this year. So suddenly what was looked like a pretty comfortable Senate scenario for Republicans has now been put into some jeopardy. When the president's approval rating goes down that low, there is no way that it doesn't affect others who are running on that party's ticket.
Okay, a good point. But listen to this. This is somebody that we spoke with in the Midwest this week. This is Brian Bossom. Now, he was laid off from the company Rexnord in Indiana. This is a company that President Trump called out for moving workers to Mexico. This guy was laid off. He voted for Obama twice. Then he voted for Trump. And here he is.
He was the only one that was talking about bringing jobs back to America. And I'll tell you the same thing I've told several that, you know, you ask me today, do you support President Trump? Absolutely. But ask me again tomorrow.
Tolu, what do you make of something like that? That voice, that view?
Yeah, there are a number of people who are trying to make that decision whether or not to stick with President Trump despite all of the chaos in the White House, all of the negative headlines about what's happening within the White House because the economy is great, because there's a potential that maybe they received, they saw their job come back after some, you know, manufacturing losses in the past. We're starting to see a resurgence in the manufacturing industry. Blue-collar jobs are back. So people are sort of trying to decide in some cases between their pocketbooks and their hearts, because they do realize that a lot of the chaos coming out of the White House is not necessarily good for democracy, but the economy is great, and you're seeing a lot of people trying to decide whether or not to stick with President Trump and vote for Republicans once again, or this new resistance, and we're seeing numbers of Democrats who are upset with what's happening within the White House turning out in record numbers in some cases, whether or not that will be enough to turn the tide during these midterms.
Okay, real quick. This is a day when we are all thinking about Hurricane Florence, but it's also a day when we're thinking about the president's reaction to his White House response to Hurricane Maria. He's rejecting the death toll. Nearly 3,000 people died. The president says, no, they didn't. Beth, just thoughts on that. Why is the president doing this?
He seems to obsess about certain things just constantly. We know he obsesses about his electoral vote margin. We know he obsesses about Hillary Clinton. He seems to be also obsessing about Hurricane Maria. This is something that's come up with him numerous times over the past year since that hurricane. It also shows a president who is inclined to believe conspiracy theories. And he is believing this theory that Democrats are trying to make the Hurricane Maria situation in Puerto Rico worse than it was, just to make him look bad. This is very consistent with how we've heard and him talk for all these many months.
But those numbers, they came from a study from George Washington University, not from Democrats. Right. Beth Fuhi and Tolu Onarunipa, thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.